see all of you here tonight. It's midweek. This wonderful Hawaiian rainy night. Mm-hmm. 32. Blessed be the name. I know we sing this song pretty often, but we have not sung this one in a while. So we sing it tonight. Sing it, as my pastor friend in Florida says, sing it like you mean. Savior, ye who know him. 51. Now think about this. Think about how this fits in, or maybe this was based on the scripture that we studied Sunday morning. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Romans 12:1, your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service.
Yeah. myself and still be leaving till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Then we shall be where we would be, then we shall be what we should be, things that are not now nor could be, soon shall be.
Nathan, I think it was you preaching sacrifices to God, and that we present our bodies a living sacrifice that the Holy Spirit has been working on my heart this past couple of weeks. I know you preached that only on Sunday, but it's definitely a good message and a good reminder. You know, what I wanted to do this evening was I'm going to take a page out of Pastor's book. I mean, he's been doing his reading, his personal readings, and what he was getting out of that. I said, you know, that's a good idea, because in the prisons, I'm teaching classes anywhere between three to six classes, and oftentimes, it's not like I can repeat the same message, because guys are there in the morning, and then the guys are there in the afternoon, so it's, so what I thought I'd do is that my personal readings right now are going through the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And for many of us, as we read the flood account, so what I'd like for you to do is open up to the book of Genesis chapter 6. And for many of us, as we read through the flood account, we see words, phrases, and truths about God's word that jump out to us. We see the wickedness of man's heart, God's mercy, God's judgment of sin. And tonight, what I wanted to do was just to cover the similarities between the ark and Jesus Christ. I've covered this lesson, Noah's Ark, a type of Christ. And as we open up to Genesis chapter 6, I want to read Hebrews 11:7 to you all. As many of you know, it is the heroes of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And it reads, God's word reads, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We cannot study the Bible for any length of time without seeing that the ark is a type of Jesus Christ. And Peter tells us that it's a specific type of typology. So I'll do what I do with the men in prison. Leave your fingers there and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, oftentimes the men say, chap, I'm running out of fingers because I got them running all over the place. But, you know, for a lot of men, those that are interested in learning God's word, they enjoy it because, as I tell them, it's not what Hugh says, it's what does God's word say. And so with that, 1 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. Peter writes, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, notice what Peter says, the long suffering of God. You know, God is very patient with us. We mess up, but yet at the same time, we don't get the immediate correction sometimes. And oftentimes, in fact, I can speak with knowledge on this, I've experienced it myself. But more importantly, when I show people, the men in prison, something like this, they go, yep. In fact, I got away with a lot of stuff. The crime that they committed, that they're doing time for, is nothing compared to all the crimes that they got away with. that they were never charged for. So they are grateful for that. And so what I want us to do is that in order for us to understand this passage of scripture, we need to take a look at the phrase there, like figure, because we have to understand what Peter is talking about here. Because oftentimes I hear people mistaking that baptism can save, that we're saved by baptism. And first off, what we have to understand, what is a figure? A figure is not the real thing, right? It would be like I'm walking down downtown Honolulu at midday and I cast a shadow on the ground. That is a shadow. It is not the real thing. And Paul explains it to us in Romans 5:14. He says, nevertheless, that reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. You know, Adam was not Jesus. Paul states that he was a figure of him that is to come. That's the reason why Paul also says that Jesus is the last Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, he says, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So with this introduction, what I want to do this evening is I want to cover six things that identify the ark as a type of Christ. The first one is God's grace provides a savior. God's grace provides a savior. Second is salvation is by grace alone. And then number three, there is only one way to be saved. God promises us security. That's the fourth item. The fifth item, the ark was a place of safety. And the sixth and last is the call for salvation is a limited time offer. So let's start off with God's grace provides a savior. You know, Noah lived in a very wicked generation. And if we look at chapter 6, let me read verses 5 through 7. It says there, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. You know, interesting. Sad truth is that everyone there was doing whatever they imagined. And it says that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? And sadly, we live in a generation today where America is doing exactly what Noah's time was doing. This is nothing new. You know, in America we have, I was watching in the staff dining over at Wyava, and the corrections officer were going, is that USC? And we're looking at the Chiron there. USC shuts down because of Hamas protesters. USC, I don't know what the annual tuition there is. I would venture to guess it's upwards of $50,000 a year. You know, I would encourage the parents of USC students to ask for a refund if they can't go to school. And worse yet, they're coming to the end of the semester, finals and so on. Transitioning to online, I have no idea what USC is going to do there. And then, of course, we have Yale University and all these things. So, and then we got these protesters that are shutting down major thoroughfares. Golden Gate Bridge was shut down a little while back. And, you know, we also have men allowed to enter into women's locker rooms and restrooms. Not only that, our current administration has basically, the Department of Education has expanded Title IX to include gender, to include people that are confused. And here's the sad part, is that they're using the force of government from K to 12, even public universities. If they don't accept this, they could have their federal funding taken away. And then, of course, we also have women, I mean, not women, these confused individuals participating in women's sports. And you see what the consequences are. Basically, men are winning races, volleyball games, whatever sports. They're taking away opportunities for women. That was a specific reason for Title IX. Title IX was passed when I was in high school. And you know, as a macho male back in high school, I actually thought it was a good deal. I thought it was a good thing. Because here we are, we're on the varsity baseball team, we got brand new equipment, nice uniforms, and all the way over in the far corner were these women playing softball. And they had all these hand-me-downs. Hand-me-down uniforms, hand-me-down equipment. They weren't even playing. They were playing basically on open space. It wasn't even marked to play softball. So I thought Title IX was a great thing. It gave opportunities for women, because I knew a lot of athletic women back in high school that never had the opportunity to get a college scholarship, right? So it was a good thing. And then, of course, we have murder on demand. Right? We're allowed to kill babies because, well, it's just inconvenient for the mom. So sadly, we have courts and politicians that enact laws, not just enact laws, but they legalize this wickedness, as I just mentioned about the Department of Education. But yet, during this time, what happened is that Noah still found favor in God's eyes. Look at verse number 8 there. So we have all of this wickedness that's going on during Noah's time. They were doing the imaginations of their own heart. All of this wickedness was just prevailing. It abounded there. Verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. And notice, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. When the Bible says that he was a perfect man, it wasn't that he didn't sin, he was sinless. But think about this. Compared to everyone else around, he looked really good. But more importantly than that, it says here that Noah walked with God. He was obedient to what God wanted him. All of the wickedness that was going on, Noah still needed to be saved. He needed to be saved from this wickedness. Jump down to verse number 11 there. Because look at what happens. Verse number 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Because Noah found grace in God's eyes, he still needed to be saved. He wasn't perfect, right? And just as we need to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, turn to the book of Romans. Leave your finger there in Genesis. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start off in verse number 16 there. Romans chapter 6, verse number 16. And Paul writes, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? This is the doctrine that was delivered unto them. It said, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so, now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit in holiness, and the end, everlasting life. And verse that many of us are familiar with, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to Jesus Christ our Lord. So no one needed to be saved, the same as we today need to be saved because of our sin nature. So what happened? Just as God provided the ark to save Noah and his family and all the animals that enter in, God sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world for all those that trust in him. Since we're in the New Testament, turn to the book of John, passage of scripture that many of us are familiar with. John chapter 3. All of us have verse number 16 memorized, even young Christians, baby Christians, even some individuals that don't know Jesus. You know, I have a shirt that has embroidered John 3:16 on it. And guys go, oh, John 3:16. I said, you know that verse? No, but I know that it's an important verse. I said, you know, you should open up the Bible and read that verse because it says a lot. It talks about God's love, right? Verse 16 there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anybody that believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse number 17, this is important, a verse that we should also include in 16. It says, for God sent not his son unto the world to condemn the world, but that through him, that the world through him might be saved. Remember when John the Baptist in John chapter 1 saw Jesus coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. God provided a Savior. Because of God's grace, he gave us a Savior. The second point, salvation. Salvation is by grace alone. You know, salvation, many times, people, when I ask the word grace, I'll ask the man, I says, what's grace? And they tell me, oh, it's not getting everything that we deserve. I said, well, that's mercy. You know, grace is getting something that we don't deserve. Like eternal life, we don't deserve that, right? God saves us apart from our own efforts. It's not what the things that we do. It's not our works. It is what we do with Jesus Christ. Salvation is not something that we deserve. It is because of God's grace, salvation is made available to all of mankind. God makes salvation available to every single human being that has ever walked this earth. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Once again, let's take a look at verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And let's jump down to verse number 17 in that same chapter. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. That word shall is a promise from God. There are no maybe, someday. He says they shall die. Verse number 18. Notice what God says, but with thee, speaking to Noah, will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. You know, so God extends his grace unto Noah. Today, God extends the gift of salvation by his grace. Let's turn to another familiar passage in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I like teaching here the same way that I like teaching in the prison. Because those individuals, those men, that first time that they come to one of my studies, I said, gentlemen, this is a Bible study. The purpose of this study is to study the Bible. So please grab a Bible before you sit down. Notice what Paul says in verse number 8 there. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. There is no comma there. There's no addition. It is just through faith and faith alone. And he says, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You know, a gift is something that we don't work for it. We don't earn it. Somebody gives us something. Somebody blesses us with a gift because they wanted to. And God wanted to give us this gift of salvation. And all we need to do is have faith, right? And Paul follows up with this. He says, not of works, lest any man should boast. You get to heaven and you say, and you see somebody there and it's like, how'd you get here? Oh man, I was doing all of this, community service. I was giving to the church. I was helping with the homeless. No, none of those things will get us into heaven. It is salvation by grace alone. Point three, there is only one way to be saved. Only one way. It is not by baptism. It is not repeating a sinner's prayer. It is not doing good works. It is not serving the homeless. It is not giving to the poor. There is only one way. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. God instructed Noah to make an ark. Look at verse number 14. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within, and without with pitch. So God instructs Noah to make an ark. The same way that Jesus tells us he is the only way. In John 14, 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh up unto the Father but by me. Turn, please, to, I'll pick that verse up later on. So here's what we have to understand. So God instructs Noah to build an ark. He says, make thee an ark. Make you an ark. Right? And then Noah had to accept God's invitation for he and his family to get saved. Look at chapter 7. Notice the first verse there. It says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. What's interesting about this verse is the fact that God was in the ark. This is what he said. Come. He didn't say go into the ark. He said come. Come into the ark. Right? Jesus invites everyone to come to him. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And I'm sure this is another passage, familiar passage of scripture. This is a scripture. It's interesting because I had a one-on-one with a gentleman. He's definitely going through some personal challenges. And he quoted this verse to me. Look at it, verse number 28. Come unto me. Once again, an invitation. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those that are stressed out, those that don't know what to do, those that are at wit's end, he says, come unto me. And he says, and I will give you rest. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, God wants us to come to him. God wants us to submit to him. He wants us to give us everything. He doesn't want us to carry the burdens. You know, one of the challenges that I used to have, in fact, sometimes he kind of reminds me, Because it's like, I got all of this opala, all of this rubbish, right? And it's like, all right, Lord, take it. I lay it at the altar. And then something happens in my life. And what do? I run there and I pick it back up and I start carrying it again. It's like the dog running back to his vomit. It's like, really? Really? You don't know how to let go? And sometimes God has to remind me. He says, Hugh, let go. Let me take care of this. Let me give you rest. Let me handle. Let me deal with the situation. But we have to realize that it is God's responsibility to save us. It is our responsibility to accept the invitation by faith. Noah believed God's promise, and he and his family were saved. Remember that opening verse that I read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7? The same thing. Jesus promises something. We're in the New Testament. Turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. Notice what Jesus says in verse number 37. He says, all, everyone that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus says, everybody that comes to him, I won't turn you away. He's there with open arms. Come unto me. All we need to do is step out in faith, accept this free gift of salvation, and Jesus can take care of the rest. And so what we see here is that everyone has to make their own choice. You know, it's like somebody asked me last week, all right, so if God is such a loving God, why doesn't he just force everybody to accept Jesus? I said, because he's a loving God. He wants you to make that decision on your own. We're in the book of John. Take a look at verse number 35 in that same chapter. Look at verse number 35. He says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, you all know that I'm not an English scholar. My first language is pidgin. But I do recognize the pronoun he. It's an individual, right? Look at what he says there. He says that he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The individual, we as individuals, have to make that same decision. Go back to, let me show you another verse in this chapter. Verse number 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, once again, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The individual that chooses Jesus by faith and faith alone has everlasting life. Let's see what happened with Noah. Go back to Genesis. And now I want you to turn to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. In verse number, Genesis 7, 7. It says, and Noah went in. He went into the ark. He went into the place of safety, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. All eight souls went willingly into the ark. Nobody was forced. They went in willingly. They made their own choice. All right, so there's only one way to be saved. For Noah and his family, it was in the ark. For us in the New Testament, it is only in Jesus Christ. Now, when we enter in, the fourth point, God promises us security. When we accept God's call, we are secure in him. Look at verse number 16 there in chapter 7. And they that went in, once again, they went in, they entered into the ark, went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. It wasn't Noah that closed the door. It's like, okay, everybody's here. All right, let me close the door. No, it was God that shut that door. And how does this relate to the New Testament? Well, let's take a look at verse number, go to John once again. John 6. I'm sorry. Let's go to Ephesians first. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul here takes a step by step in the salvation process, and there is something that happens. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted. Notice this. After ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you heard the word, you heard the gospel, right? And then what happened? You believed. Whom also after that ye believed and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So when we hear the gospel, we accept the gospel, we believe it. Now we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed. And it's a permanent seal, right? Because turn to chapter 4 in that same book. Chapter 4. Verse number 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Either at the rapture or when we die. Either day. We are sealed until then. It's a permanent sealing. Mm-hmm. What God seals, no man can unseal. The same way when God closed that door there, no one else could get in. But guess what? No one else could get out either. They were in the ark, the same way that we are in Jesus Christ. So, the security that we have is that we are safe in God. Noah was safe from God's judgment in the ark. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. See what God was going to destroy. In fact, so we already know that God was going to destroy everything. So go to chapter 7. No. Stay in 6. Sorry about that. Stay in 6. And look at verse number 17. No, we already know it's flooding. Verse number 21. 6:21. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that commanded him, so did he. So God, when they entered in, they were safe within there. God instructed him. He gave them instructions how that they would provide for themselves while they were in that ark. The same thing is true when we, New Testament believers, we're also, when we accept Jesus, what happens? We're saved from God's wrath. And I'm running out of time here, so let me just go real quickly here. Turn to John chapter chapter 3. John chapter 3. We've already read verses 16 and 17. Let's take a look at the very last verse in that John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, we have security in Jesus Christ. For all those that don't, they face the wrath of God. And I want to say something about security. I was reading an article. Well, actually, I was reading something about D.L. Moody. And security. He had a conversation with a man. Man said this to D.L. Moody. He says, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't feel like I'm saved. Moody responded, was Noah safe in the ark? The man said, certainly he was. So Moody asked, well, what made him safe? His feelings or the ark? The man got the point. And he said this, the man said this, how foolish I've been. It is not my feeling, it is Christ that saves. Amen. You know, oftentimes, I'll lead an individual to Christ. They accept Jesus. Some men are in tears. Others are like, and I have to take him back because sometimes it doesn't feel like, or I shouldn't say it doesn't feel like, it doesn't appear that they were sincere. They didn't appear that they understood. So I have to repeat what we discussed, right? But ultimately, what we have to understand is this. We are saved by grace and kept by grace, right? Point number five, the ark was a place of safety. The ark was a place of safety. Go back to Genesis 6. Now let's take a look at verse number 14 there. The instructions that God gives to Noah. He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. As I was reading this, and many years ago, I heard something about this, so I had to go back and I had to research it. Gopher wood. Gopher wood is basically cypress wood. Cypress wood is a light wood. It's used today for a lot of outdoor furniture. It's a light wood. Not only that, it's also rock resistant. So the ark made constructed of cypress wood, lightweight, rock resistant. Hey, what better material to build a boat that's going to be in water, right? For about 11 months, it's going to be floating around. Something that's rock resistant, something that's lightweight, that would be able to have that buoyancy to carry the weight. But here's the interesting thing. This word pitch here, right? So then Noah didn't have the convenience of modern tools. Everything was hand chiseled. So of course, I'm sure you had all these gaps. He put pitch in there to seal it, to waterproof it, to prevent the water from coming in. But the interesting word about that word pitch there in that Old Testament, in the King James specifically, right? That word there basically means, is a reference to atonement or redemption, reconciliation in the ark, a type of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us something similar in the book of Romans. You don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It's in Romans chapter 5, for anybody who wants to follow along. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to be reading from verse number 9. My goodness. Romans chapter 5, starting off with verse number 9. Paul writes here. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as one by one man sin entered into the world, so on and so forth. So Noah and his family was in this cypress wood ark that was rock resistant, lightweight, and was sealed with pitch. They were sheltered from God's judgment. You know, Jesus also shelters us from God's judgment. I need you guys to turn to the book of John, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The last point, the call for salvation is a limited time offer. It's a limited time offer. Remember, when God shut the door of the ark, he shut it at his appointed time. The people around did not know it was going to be flooded, but once it was shut, that was it. There was no way that people could enter in. You know, I'd like for you guys to see this verse. It's in Isaiah 55, the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah writes there, in verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, sadly for the people here on earth in this New Testament time, in the church age, once that rapture happens, they will need to go through the tribulation. They will need to go through that 7 years, the last 3.5 years, being something that no man, being events that no man has ever seen. But yet, God wants all of us to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's take a look at that verse, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Peter writes, not rendering evil for, oops, hang on, oh, I'm in 1 Peter. Wrong book, wrong address. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want his wrath upon us. He wants all of us to accept Jesus. And Paul tells us not to put it off. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse number 2 there, Paul says, for he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And then finally, I want to take us to take a look at, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Jesus is talking about a second coming here. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to start off in verse number 37. Jesus says here, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the coming of the Son of Man be. People back in those days didn't know there was a flood coming, but he compares it to when Jesus returns. He says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Nobody knows, right? It is a limited time offer. When Jesus, once the rapture happens, everybody else has to face what the people in Noah's days did. You know, we see Jesus here giving us a warning about when people live for themselves as they did in the days of Noah. Judgment is coming. Everyone better be in the ark of safety. For us today, it is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you once again. And Lord, it is always a blessing to be able to read your word, to be able to teach your word. But most importantly, Lord, to see the connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament. As my brother Nathan had preached a few months ago, Lord, why it is so important for us to read the Old Testament. We cannot disconnect from it, as some modern preachers like to do, Lord. I pray, Father, that you just continue to encourage the saints. Help us, Lord, to be in your word, that your Holy Spirit can speak to us and teach us the things that you want us to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, folks. Amen. Amen.